This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
Kate, we're back.
Hello, Catherine Collette, author with new book coming out in the world very bloody soon.
Very soon. It's
Happy
like
New
three
Year,
or
my
four
friend.
Days away.
I don't I actually know. Think we have spoken.
No, we haven't. You're back. Now, I'm it might back. Feel to listeners like we've already been back, but in fact, you have just gotten home. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I have just got home. I had the most blissful 2.5 weeks at the beach where it was just like the whole pandemic thing did not exist. Big gang of us, lots of awesome things, campfires and paddleboarding and all the good stuff, big gang of kids. It was just utterly superb. Turned off the phone and I feel utterly rejuvenated. Catherine, how was your beach time?
It's so good. I feel exactly the same. It was a real beach summer. We did not have to pack up in an emergency situation, which is a really low bar, but it was very much exceeded. Yeah, rested.
Rested.
I feel for people that can't say that, but it feels bloody good to be able to say it, I tell you.
And I think that people have lent into that where they could. Certainly people I've talked to, you know, talking of past summers, I've just finished writing about this for an article that I hope will come out soon. We went back to our camp spot, which is still not open. We kind of snuck in a little bit and it's all still just, all our burnt stuff is still there.
Is it,
it was really full on. Yeah. But also incredible. Like there were lots of big weepy tears.
Wow.
But it's kind of grown back like, you know, like a jungle over cars and kayaks and burnt bits and unburnt bits. It was really quite profound. So yeah.
Seeing the areas that were burnt near Browley is similar kind of thing. Very different in terms of it's not an abandoned campsite, but just even the way the leaves grow back on trees, like that stress growth looks so visually different. And I don't know,
insanely like green.
It's so green, but it's so, is it real? Like I just am not sure if it constitutes survival or not. I'm not
sometimes sure. Sometimes in those bits, we were kind of camped near the snowy and some bits where the fire burned, you know, extraordinarily hot, you can just see like it still kind of just seems like scorched earth. But amazing to see the regrowth. And yeah, it was a beautiful thing to do. So yeah, lots of big feels in my summer.
Amazing.
And now we are rested and you are looking particularly glamorous, might I say, today. It's almost as if you have some big events coming up.
I know, I just got my hair done. I feel so sweaty already though. Like the humidity this year has been next level. It's out of control.
Next level.
One of the good things about summer is ideally you get some time to read. Do you have a favourite book from over the summer?
Do you know the funniest thing that I have to admit to? You know, normally I come back at this period and give you like 15 books. I did not finish a book in that 2.5 weeks that I was away. And it was not I'm reading Ruth Ezeki, so that's quite big. And it wasn't that. It was just that I don't know if it's the age of the kids or we're with a really big gang or there was just lots going on. Did not finish a book. Having said that, I did, before we go away, sneak in a couple of excellent days of summer reading. And a couple that I wanted to mention was that I read Lisa Tadeo's Animal, which I had missed when it first came out because, and I can say this now, I am interviewing her for Adelaide Writers Week, which is very exciting, obviously on screen because we can't still do
this. So you will be in a venue on screen. So it's like a hybrid
on stage in that gorgeous, the Pioneer Gardens, which is just so lovely. So that's really fun. So I read Animal, and I read also and loved and have recommended and pushed into the hand of so many people already, Sarah Winman's Still Life, which was just the kind of joyous antidote to everything that I needed. And excitingly, Catherine Collette, I did my little Instagram DM trick. And we are getting to speak to her for the podcast.
Amazing.
So that will be coming up. So they were two that I read that I wanted to mention. And I also came home to a stack of book mail, which I'm super excited about. And two that I'm really excited about are Mandy Beaumont's The Furies. And we spoke to Mandy maybe two seasons ago. And I know that book is out this week, I think. So congratulations.
I think it's
Mandy.
Out. I think
out
it came
already
out
in the world.
Came out on a funny day. I think maybe publishers do different things. I think Text Always does the first of the month, but
they
I feel like Mandy's
things.
Came out on like the 25th or something.
And the other one that's glowing at me from over on my table over there is Fiona Robertson's If You're Happy, which looks just utterly
great cover.
Glorious.
Too.
Great cover. So
a
looking
very
forward to
happy
those two.
Cover.
What Ooh, about you?
Very nice. I joined the masses in saying I read Love and Virtue by Diana Reid. It is as good as it is as good as everyone says.
Yep.
I kind of wasn't picking it up because I thought, oh, it sounds
because you
bit
and I have a
depressing.
Little bit of a like, and also a little bit of like a hate read thing of like, oh, it's too popular. No, awesome. No, I'm not going to read it. But yeah, I can
really good. It's a mood to be able to capture that early 20s sort of angst, friendship, joy. I mean, that probably not really the themes of the book necessarily.
No, I thought it was very impressive. I could see why Helen Garner recommended it as her debut, right up her alley.
The other one that I loved that I can fairly confidently say I don't think you will have read is Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurdy. This
I have not read Lonesome Dove.
So good.
Okay,
I feel like it was written in the 80s. It's an epic, sprawling Western. At the center of it are two cowboys, Gus and Cal, but there are other cowboys as well that we get to hear about, and they're driving cattle up north. It happens against the backdrop of like Indian skirmishes. Probably like there are aspects that need to be interrogated for how they're portrayed.
Okay.
But if you take it purely on the basis of entertainment, it will keep you interested for like 3 weeks or something just because it's so, so long. But it's excellent.
Okay. I have some questions.
He also wrote Brokeback Mountain. So I think his domain is this like male friendship.
Okay. Is that how you came to it? How did you come?
No,
how did this like
no.
appear it's, on your radar?
It's like one of the number one books on Goodreads, like of all books. It's
wow.
like this highly, highly recommended book. It was also a mini series, I think, in the maybe also in the 80s, and has like a star-studded cast. I haven't seen the mini series,
okay.
So I cannot vouch for that. But it's really good.
I look forward to adding this to my list on your recommendation.
I am uncertain as to how honest you're being, but it is also the kind of book I reckon you could give, which, and this is like a type of category, and I'm not really sure what I think of this category, to males that don't read a lot.
Huh,
so I think it would appeal really universally, but that's a category that
I mean,
not
you
many
say
books
that,
hit.
But like this shelf over here behind me right here is all of my big Steinbecky sprawling, like I do have a bit of a thing for a sprawling.
Maybe you'll like it,
you know. And
maybe
obviously,
like
we all
it.
Have a thing for cowboys. So.
I would happily discuss it at length with you.
Okay, maybe so. This is a future. A side kind of hustle for the podcast is our we can have a book club, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Sprawling westerns.
Sprawling
to kick
westerns.
Things off.
What
writing.
About writing?
Jinx, personal jinx. There's been so much jinxing happening in this house. Personal jinx.
Is that a thing? A thing again?
God. Have you had time or inclination to write?
No. I had a couple of kind of article things to bash out, which I did. But in terms of the big project, no, I very purposefully and determinedly wrote in my journal which, by the way, is now sitting at 145,000 words just for this this particular project. I wrote down, okay, put it to bed now. Hopefully, brain, you will do some work on this while I am lying on a beach. And, you know, hopefully it has. I had lots of great conversations. That's the benefit of campfires, where you kind of like, you know, plucking bits from people's brains, and met some very interesting beef folk, which is kind of related, and did some other research while I was on holidays. Oh. But other than that, no words to actual pages. What about you?
We go back to that research. Mm-hmm. Are you going to say what that is, or is that top secret research?
No, it's top secret at this stage. Mm. Apologies.
Wet our appetites.
Yeah. You know, I'm very bad generally at keeping secrets, so that one I will keep for the minute. What about you? You can't have been. You've been like in, tell me, did you write?
I did do some writing.
Oh, you're so amazing.
But in a, like a non, didn't have to do it, but, you know, it was nice waking up, you know, kids would watch TV first thing, Carney would go for a surf, and then we'd all go to the beach together. So in that kind of spot of time. But we were away for a long time. We were away for 5 weeks. So
so good. Will you continue to do that every year, do you think? Like, is that just your thing?
Yeah, we really like it. It just is a nice, I don't know, you grow attached to a part of the world, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So I think we'll keep going back. But I have just gotten to the point where I'm realizing I have to put it down because you don't have enough headspace. I don't have enough headspace for two books.
No. So tell me, because you started to say this before we started recording, and I said, stop right there, Colette. Do not say how you're feeling right now, because you leave that for our listeners. How are you feeling? Because today when we're recording, we're about like 4 or 5 official days away from release day. Is that right?
Yeah, we are.
And it's so, like, it's out in the world.
It's in the world, yeah. I
apologize,
see.
That's thunder. Oh. Sorry, everybody, for recording on the day.
Creating a mood. Yeah. So I guess one of the things that we talked about last year was I kept saying, I don't want to have an online launch. I don't want to have an online launch. I don't want to have an online launch. And so the launch that was planned was Reading set to cancel it just because COVID's a bit out of control, which felt very crushing at the time because I really felt I had dodged that bullet. But surely. I think it would just be rescheduled. So we're looking at March now, and Bram Presser is going to launch it for me.
Oh, that'll be fun. That will be so much fun. Okay, it'll March, we can do it in real life. Just go away, COVID. Like, honestly, enough.
I just don't have online events in me. I think I'm just not going to do online events.
So does that mean that you are doing actual human events out in the world?
I am. I'm going to Sydney next week. Touch wood.
A plane.
Going according to plan. Yeah, for 2 nights, and I'll be in a hotel, although hotels feel a bit maligned at the moment, but I'm still excited to be going to one.
I am so excited for you.
And I will be doing an event with David Hunt at Mossman Library on Wednesday the 2nd of Feb, which will be really fun, but then just doing bookshop visits, and I'm meeting up with a couple of authors that I've really only interacted with, or some of whom I've only interacted with online. So
that's
a nice moment.
That's
Who was the first person you had interacted with online that you then met up with in real life? I haven't done that before. I've done it once. Ashley Collation Blunt.
Yes. Ashley, I definitely had met online first. I think the first person though was when I was still like baby writer. I say that from all my wisdom and years of experience, 7 years on.
You do have wisdom and years of experience.
But Mark Smith had contacted me online because we have mutual friends in common, family and friends in common. And he was at, I don't know, one of those conferences that you did at the start, like before the book had come out, Leading Edge or something like that. And so we knew that we were going to meet there, but it was like that, you know. Well, you don't have
fun
to like stand in the corner with a rose in your pocket or whatever anymore, because you already know what people look like. But it was that kind of a situation, which was fun. But it happens all the time now, right?
Like, yeah, it's pretty normal.
I have quite intense friendships with who I've not met in real life. I know people who've written books together who've not met in real life.
Really?
It's a crazy world out there. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't think I can release who that is yet, but I will soon. Oh, that's going to be so fun. That's going to be so fun.
It'll be really good. I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Do you get a person to take you around?
Jane Watkins is taking me around. She's my text publicist, and I love her. We went around Sydney previously and just giggled like unprofessional 12-year-olds. But it was really good.
I seem to recall, excellent chocolate.
Yeah, she's great on snacks, very entertaining in and of herself. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay,
it is the first day of school, though, so I'm, like, totally skiving off. But I'll be there for, like, drop-off.
Yeah, you don't – one does not have to apologise on this podcast for such things, okay? We can do both. We can be both. Tell me, you just kind of, like, skived around the edge there of answering the question of where the emotion level is at for being out there in the world again. Are you feeling more thick-skinned, less thick-skinned? Panicky. Have you kept off Goodreads this time?
I've kept off Goodreads. I do feel excited. I think one thing about the pandemic is you appreciate things, you know, variation in life feels like a really exciting thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah, it's good to get to have a high, and particularly to get to have aspects of that high in the world feels pretty special.
Have all of your like people read it so far, like family, and obviously Carly's already read it.
I have given one brother and his family a copy. I haven't seen my mum since I got the box of books, so I'll give her one. I'll send my other brother one. So not really, no.
I love that. Yeah, moment.
I feel like that's the weirdest, isn't it? Like that.
Yeah. Well, because you're already so revealed to those people.
Yeah.
I think it's a slight tension when
they
see
know
this aspect of you.
Yeah, well, I think they read it in your voice, don't they? Sort of.
Yeah.
You know, they see it as it's very much the interior mind of someone.
And we also, I had a very funny book-related camping moment while we were camping. I had kind of asked a woman if I could take a photo of her because she was reading The Silent Listener, Lynn Yearwatt's book.
Cool.
And I wanted to send it to her. And one thing led to another, and eventually it evidently became the gossip of one particular bookish campsite that I was a writer. And these delightful, delightful women came over to meet me, and their kids are actually at a school that's studying skylarking. And it was the funniest thing because we're there like in our big campsite. I'd actually missed them the first time around because I was like looking after kids or something. You know, big camp set of all these friends that I've been friends with, like, you know, since I was kind of 12 and 13, that's really big.
I know, this is wild thunder, like crazy.
But, you know, who are very supportive of the idea that I'm a writer, but also I'm just also Kate, normal Kate, you know, who is loud and silly around the fire. And it was this very odd moment of kind of like being in full camping gear a week and a half in, not looking at all my bookish kind of out in the world thing. But it was a real kind of,
it's a clashing of worlds.
It was a clashing of worlds. It was a clashing of worlds. And they, as they rightfully should, my darling friends, took the piss right out of me afterwards, as I deserved.
That's nice.
It is nice.
Both parts of that are nice.
You know what? Yeah. Can I say another nice bookish thing that I noticed yesterday? I don't know if you have got yourself onto the Twitter again, Catherine, in active way in preparation.
I'm trying a little bit. I do have now in my bio that I'm mainly there to look at Real Housewives related content. So
excellent. You know. Good disclaimer. That is a good disclaimer. Mm. But did you see Robert Lutkin's question or comment about whether Australian writers were supportive of each other behind the scenes and that whole thread?
I
thought that was a really nice thread. Basically, everyone was saying, yeah, this is a really good bunch of people and everyone has your back. And, you know, clearly we all want to be in Kid Lit or YA or crime or romance because they're clearly the biggest gangs. But generally, everyone has each other's back in a pretty nice way. It was a nice thing to see. I liked it. And Robin's got a new book coming out, Loveland, which is out super soon as well.
It's amazing. It's out in March, I think.
Oh, gosh, there are.
And we are doing an event with him.
We are.
At the Wheeler Centre, which will be fun.
So many books, so many things. Are you feeling any of that kind of anxiety about, you know, the books that are coming out at the same time, or, you know, how are you feeling about that kind of aspect of it? Whoa.
Wow.
That one shook my feet. Okay.
Yeah, that's loud. Not really. Like, I'm okay with that. I think I'm sure that will come.
Yeah.
I probably haven't been alerted to ones that are coming out. Like, I know there are ones coming out around-ish,
yeah.
But I feel like the ones that I've seen are very different books. Like, what feels more like, oh, their book sounds good, is a book that feels comparative. Whereas yes. I think, you know, the style of Mandy Beaumont and Robert Lukens is absolutely so very different to the competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll see.
Watch oh, I'm so space. Excited. Does that mean that the next time we talk, it will be out in the world? You'll be seeing it in shops. Mm. You'll have gone to Sydney. You'll have been like back on the I'm a big famous author kind of train.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the shop thing is weird because I don't really go into shops so much anymore. I mean, bookshops would be an exception, but
do you have a competition kind of coloured mask? Have we got some thematic wear? Have you bought any new outfits?
I've got new, like those hardcore, the special masks for the plane and all that sort of stuff. Fabric is out, I suppose.
Fabric is out. It's making it a bit. Those other ones are so hard to manoeuvre around your face.
Oh, my God.
So sorry to all the people who have to wear them in their daily job every day. I'm so glad.
That's intense. I know. Maybe I'll write something on. Really? I have tried to go shopping, but I don't know. I think shopping's over. I think it's like, I think, which is probably a good thing. Like, why should shopping be a leisure activity?
True.
So it's true. So we'll see. I'll be wearing the same top in every shop.
That's all right.
It's very eco-friendly.
Yeah. And I think that's a statement. Donna Tartt, Brooke McCallery does that. Easy. Don't have to think about it. And no one actually notices.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, you know, give yourself a bit of glitter and champagne when you need it. Have so much fun.
Yeah, I will. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. And we are having a replacement launch writers group dinner, which I'm also very excited about.
We're very excited about it too. You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.